The Hunter Museum of American Art will feature the exhibit of Monet and American Impressionism until September 20th. I'm speaking with the curator of the temporary exhibit to learn more details about the works of Impressionism art currently on display at the Hunter. Dulce Roman is the curator of the temporary exhibit that has been bringing thousands of visitors to the Hunter Museum of American Art this summer. We walked through the exhibit to discuss the inspiration for bringing the work of these artists together.
I'm the curator of the exhibition, and I serve as curator of modern art and the chief curator at the Harn Museum of Art at the University of Florida in Gainesville. And we are the organizers of the exhibition, and we partnered with the Hunter Museum of American Art and Telfair Museums to bring this project to fruition.
Most of the art in the exhibit is on loan temporarily to the Hunter Museum. Some of the pieces belong to the Hunter Museum. Are they all yours, or did they come together from other museums?
Of course, we wish they were all ours. We dream that they were all ours, but no, in fact, there are 27 lenders to the exhibition, including the Harn Museum. So 28 total museums and collections contributed to the exhibition with their gorgeous paintings, prints, pastels, watercolors that truly epitomize Impressionism.
We have some of the earliest Impressionist work from Monet as well as American painters that studied directly under Monet. How did you choose what was going to be in the exhibit?
I had a few goals. For one, I wanted to include enough paintings by Monet so that we could justify the title, Monet and American Impressionism, of course. That was one of the first goals. I also wanted to show the relationship between Monet and the American artists, both the artists who were present in Giverny learning from Monet, maybe not necessarily directly from him because he didn't have actual students or pupils, but he did become close to a handful of American artists and mentor them along the way. For example, Theodore Robinson was one of those artists, and I definitely wanted to have work by him in the exhibition and other Americans who were present in Giverny. I also wanted to make sure we had other artists who have become more prominently known as American Impressionists, like Childe Hassam, Frederick Frieseke. In addition, some other goals I had were to highlight some lesser-known artists who aren't always included in exhibitions of Impressionist art. Some Southern artists, for example, like Gary Melchers. We have a couple of paintings by him, and he's one of the few Impressionist American artists active in the South. Another example is Helen Maria Turner, who's also an example of a woman artist. I wanted to make sure we had some women represented, not only the big ones like Mary Cassatt, but also lesser-known artists like Helen Maria Turner and Lilla Cabot Perry, who's actually represented in the Hunter Collection.
Well, let's walk a little ways through. Of course, if you have not been to the Hunter Museum of American Art, you only have until September 20th, I believe, to get a chance to see Monet and American Impressionism. So let's start, I guess, right here at the beginning. What do we have?
This is a painting by Theodore Robinson, who was one of the few American artists who established a close friendship with Monet. And that's because Robinson spent 6 months out of every year living in Giverny and getting to know Monet. He also was older, somewhat older than most of the students who flocked to Giverny. So perhaps Monet felt more of a kinship with Robinson than he did with some of the young, overly enthusiastic American artists who were there.
When you say Impressionism, and most people think Monet, they think the water lilies, they think brush strokes, but brilliant colors, kind of blending where you almost want to squeeze your eyes just a little bit if you really want to see solid details. There's an almost nebulous part of the style. Was that completely novel and unique at the time?
Yes, it was very novel. It was considered shocking, revolutionary. The French Impressionists, including Monet, Degas, Renoir, other big names that you associate with French Impressionism, they were considered a band of renegade artists when they held their very first exhibition in Paris in 1874. and it was a shocking exhibition. In fact, one of the paintings that Monet exhibited in that show is called Impression Sunrise. It was painted 2 years earlier in 1872. And when a critic expressed disappointment, shock with the painting, he called it a mere impression, a sketch, implying that it wasn't finished because it didn't have the perfectly executed type of style that people were used to seeing at the time, that was standard and that was promoted by the French academies in Paris.
Most paintings, when you think historical paintings, and you think of things that are very realistic, the realism, the layer upon layer of color to almost make something look 3D, almost make a figure come alive. But in Impressionism, there's life, but there's no detail.
That's absolutely right. The Impressionists were interested in exploring different ways of seeing. They were interested in optics, in new technologies like photography, and they were looking at Japanese prints. So they were looking at different and unique ways to describe the world. So in some of the paintings, you might notice blurred edges. You might notice objects that are cropped at very unusual points. You may notice exhibitions that are not symmetrical, very heavily balanced or weighted toward one side. So a lot of different elements that were not typical of the way artists were painting during the period.
The Robinson paintings have kind of muted greens and blues, and you know, there's trees, and of course people at work are just regular, looks like regular people, whereas people of the time that were normally put to canvas were the aristocracy.
The French Impressionists and the Americans who were studying and learning in Giverny were interested in capturing the French countryside, the rural villages that were easily accessible from Paris, where many of them were actually studying in academies. So it was easy for them to get on the train and go to a place like Giverny. And they were captivated not only by the beauty of the landscape, the poppies, the fields in bloom, but also by workers in the fields. And so you will see paintings by Pissarro, or by some of the American artists like Theodore Robinson, that show workers in the fields. Or in this case, in Theodore Robinson's Gathering Plums, you have two figures in an orchard, and one of them is on a ladder picking fruit from a tree.
The very first Monet that you actually see in the exhibit, if you follow the timeline, is quite lovely. It's a field, and the colors are so mixed in there that you could almost step into the field and feel the grasses along your calf and maybe stop and pick a flower. Why did you choose this one?
You have actually zeroed in on the starting point and the catalyst for the exhibition. We're looking at Claude Monet's Champs d'Avoine, which means oat field, and Monet painted it in 1890 in Giverny in the fields near his home. And this painting was a gift to the Harn Museum of Art at the University of Florida in 1999. And it was the first Impressionist painting in the collection. And it is the reason why we started to shift some of our collecting strategies to include and pursue works by American Impressionists, so that we could fill a gap between painting of the late 19th century and American paintings in the 1920s and 30s, which were actually a major strength of the Harn's collection.
Many of the paintings that are right here in this little section, which is called the Allure of Giverny, are paintings of the actual landscapes of Monet's farm, of his area. These are all contemporary paintings to when Monet was living there. Is that correct?
That's right. Monet first rented a home in Giverny in 1883, and then eventually, as his career progressed and he became more and more successful, he was able to buy a home in Giverny. And he lived there for many, many years, and until the end of his life, was very active in Giverny.
I think as you look around, or at least as I look around at each of these paintings, it's almost like you'd want to just take a gentle stroll. And I almost wish that it still looks like it does in these paintings. I bet it's changed a lot, though.
It has changed a lot. Of course, there's a lot more activity, a lot more people. The population has grown in the area. There's a lot of industry. People go on tours there, and they're probably surprised and shocked that, yes, they can find areas that they imagine they're stepping into a Monet painting or an Impressionist painting, but then, of course, the area is very much changed today. But it's also interesting to note, I'm looking at a painting right now by Lilla Cabot-Perry, which is a view of a field with a haystack, which we, of course, associate with Monet and with Impressionism. Also, there are some buildings in the background with the typical red roof and whitewashed buildings of Giverny. But even in this time, in the 1890s, there were already elements of industry in the surrounding area. And artists like Lilla Cabot-Perry framed these images so that they could avoid those intrusions and give the impression that one looking at this canvas really just sees the gorgeous landscape and can just block out everything else.
I've wandered over to a painting that caught my eye because of bold, vibrant greens. I mean, there are so many shades of green in here, and you're looking at a stream bed and trees and the shadows of the trees, and even within the trees, the shadows of the leaves. Why is this painting included?
This painting is included because it is by another of the American artists who were one of the first to work in Giverny. This is a painting by Willard Metcalf, and he was one of the first American artists to travel from Paris, where he was studying, to Giverny around 1886 or 1888, in that time. This painting exemplifies some of the experiments that the Impressionists were taking and how they were approaching the landscape. For example, one enters the painting from an angle, from an oblique angle, and then it opens up into this gorgeous field where we see an incredible contrast between light and dark. The shadows of the trees, you can definitely see them on the landscape, and you can imagine the harsh light zooming in here on this view. And then there's a view out to the distance where we can see raking light on a typical Giverny building with the whitewashed walls and the red roof. And then beyond there, you see a hillside and then the blue sky. So there are layers. It's as if the artists are constructing the painting along specific bands where you enter in different fields and progress deeper and deeper into the view.
Now, I noticed off to the right there, it's almost like a completely different shade came in, like maybe he was thinking about doing something else, but then it could, because it doesn't really match the rest of the grass.
You might be picking up on the varied textures in Impressionist paintings. They were not interested in making it look like a photograph or a very realistic image. They're interested in the quality, the tactile qualities of the pigment, of the paint itself and the canvas, and using pigment and canvas to create different textures and an interesting surface. And they also varied how thickly the paint was applied so that in more thick areas, those areas would reflect a lot of light and give the impression that the whole canvas is shimmering and that you have a sense of the transience of light as the clouds move across the sky and the vision in front of you changes from moment to moment as those clouds and as the sunlight changes. So those were some of the goals that you see evident in this painting.
What is your absolute favorite painting of the collection that you put together to travel to other museums?
I think one of my favorite paintings is directly in front of me. It's called Lilies, and it's by Frederick Friesiga. It is a painting that shows the artist's wife, Sadie, seated at a table pouring tea for her guest, who is in a gorgeous white dress and has just turned to address the viewer, us, as if she's inviting us into the painting. I love it because it's in Sadie's home. She was an avid gardener. As I was researching the exhibition, I learned that she became very friendly with Monet, who was also a gardener. So they had a common conversational goal, the care of their garden. So this is the sphere of a woman. This is a woman's garden, a woman's home, and it speaks to the period where women were considered very domestic creatures. Motherhood was most important, and very few women were active as career women.
When this exhibit completes the tour here at Chattanooga, and then it's going to go to Savannah,
Will it return in its entirety, or will that be when each of these pieces go back to their respective homes?
These paintings will all go back to their respective homes. So after the show closes in Savannah in January, this collection of work, these objects will never again be seen together. And one of the most interesting things for me during this whole process has been seeing these paintings come to life, unpacking each crate, each object, was almost like Christmas. And it was a completely different experience to see them in the flesh. I had been studying them in books and seeing reproductions. So when you see them on the wall, each one has its own star power. You can appreciate them in a new and interesting way, but also seeing them paired with other paintings. The installation here is not the exact same pairing of works that we had in Gainesville, and what we see at the Telfair, again, will be the same works, but recombined in unique ways. And in each installation, I think you learn about each work in relationship to each other and to the whole installation.
Monet and American Impressionism will be on display at the Hunter Museum of American Art until September 20th. The complete conversation with Dulcie Roman can be found on the blog at wutc.org. You can find more information about the Hunter Museum of American Art online at huntermuseum.org. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.